What's good, it's C. Wood. Back at you again with another hard-hitting episode of Ball About the South with C. Wood. Ball About the South, it is that sports podcast where we talk real sports and we do it with real Southern flavor. My name is Kerry Wood. Call me C. Wood for short. At C. Wood on sports on Twitter and IG is where you can find me. And, man, I'm just glad to come at you one more time. This is the 25th episode, man. The 25th episode. Yeah, the 25th episode. Needless to say, I'm quite happy about that. And looking for another 25 more and another 25 more after that. And another 25 more. And, you know, just keep this thing going for as long as I possibly can and keep growing it as much as I can each and every episode. Again, I want to appreciate you stepping in to check me out. And as you can see by the title, we're going to talk a lot of NBA. The NBA playoffs are upon us. We have just gotten done with the play-in. I kind of was going to try to finish this show before the play-in was over, but I was like, I'm going to go ahead and see what the deal is with those two games on Friday night. And then I will put out, kind of finish the show and put it out here on Saturday. And, it was very interesting games last night. We'll get into all of that as I get into the preview. But, yeah, we're going to look at we're going to look a little bit more in depth at the series that involved the teams in this part of the country, like the Miami Heat, the Hawks, and, of course, now the Pelicans, that they are in the playoffs. We're going to kind of take a look at them a little bit deeper, but I'm also going to go into every other playoff series as well. And I always look forward to this time of year, middle of April, because this is playoff time. Playoffs are absolutely one of my favorite sporting events of the year. And, I'm going to talk a little bit about this play-in and then the playoff thing when I talk, get into the NBA segment and everything. A lot of people out there are not really happy with the play-in. I'm going to talk about that. But anyway, as we start off the show, though, let's get into a few news and notes of things that are going on around, around this part of the country and around the country as well in the world of sports. And I would, definitely be remiss if I did not begin the show on the sad note, talking about Dwayne Haskins, the former Ohio State quarterback, the former Washington football team. I'm not sure if he was on the team while they were still called the Redskins. I don't think he was, but I know he was on the Washington football team, and of course he was sent to the Pittsburgh Steelers last season, where this is obviously where he would have been this coming season. I woke up to that news last Saturday, and I was like, man, it floored me. I guess because I don't know, obviously, because he's so young. That's one thing, 24 years old. I didn't even realize maybe he was that old. But I guess that's about right. He would have been 25 here. I think it's coming up in May. It would have been his 25th birthday. And, the way the headline read, he was run over by a car or whatever. It didn't say what he was run over by. It just said he was run over and just... this didn't make any sense. I was like, man, maybe this is, I was really just waking up, and wasn't sure I was seeing what I was actually seeing. And it just really threw me. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Kobe's death, because you heard it in one spot, and then you're like, okay, somebody's putting out a prank. There's no way that Kobe died in a plane crash. There's no way that happened. So then you go and you check out another news source, or you turn on Twitter or turn on that or whatever, and then that confirmed. And it was kind of the same way last week with Dwayne Haskins. And man, I tell you, my heart goes out to his family. It really does. Not really sure. To be honest with you, I'd be lying to you if I told you I've been really keeping up with the developments of that case, or, well, not case, but, you know, the developments of that incident the rest of the week. I really did not, so I'm not really sure, so I'm not going to really comment on it too much. It's really mysterious what, you know, the way that happened, but the main thing is I do want to give out my condolences and my thoughts and prayers to his family and everything. It's just it's a tragic thing to happen to Dwayne Haskins. I've gone way too young, rather, and I just want to say rest in peace to him, rest in power as well to Dwayne Haskins. So I thought I had to, you know, kind of start the show off with that. That's been a big story all week. A couple other stories I want to hit on a little bit. Today is A-Day game for the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's what they call it. Spring game. A lot of things going on, man. The transfer portal is getting hot again. A couple more. There was one more signing this week. There may, or at least, you know, a commitment anyway. There may be another commitment or two coming up this weekend. Speedy wide receiver from the University of Louisville is visiting Alabama today. That's just what Alabama needs, right? Another speedy receiver. We talked briefly last week about what I've been hearing from spring practice with the, you know, talking about the rapport or the, the chemistry between Bama's new wide receiver, Jermaine Burton, who came over from Georgia, and, you know, and his chemistry already with Bryce Young. And that's been a hot topic of the last few days of camp and everything. And now maybe we're going to add another one, another wide receiver for Louisville, who I hear a lot of good things about. Not going to get into it too deep, but yeah, man. The transfer portal is doing its thing for Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And look, he tried to warn the rest of college football. This is not what you want. This is not what you want, but I'll tell you what, they're going to find that out. Well, they're already finding that out. And now you got the stories going up saying, oh, well, you know, Saban and the Alabama athletic staff and whatever is tampering. They're going and getting these players and they're tampering and all that, you know, kind of that NFL kind of vibe or whatever. It's like, look, man, nobody's tampering. Nobody's tampering at all. It's just, it is what it is. So, yeah, man. Anyway, the Alabama Crimson Tide is really starting to look like they're really kind of trying to lock in. And they're looking for revenge. That's what they're saying. That is their kind of their motto so far in the spring, and they're looking to come back strong and try to get back to that championship game and actually win it this time. That is the goal of this football team, and they're looking like they could have a good shot at doing that. We'll see how it goes now. We did not get much into the Auburn A-Day. Auburn had theirs last week. Again, not too much. Obviously the big battle going on there at Auburn is the quarterback battle, and I didn't really hear too much different or anything, not any kind of separation from one quarterback to another or anything like that. We'll talk a little bit more, you know, a little bit deeper about that as we go on, but Auburn's still, you know, searching for that successor to Bo Nix, and we'll see who that guy is. Like I say, the guy Calzada from Texas A&M and TJ Finley look to be the big names that'll have a shot at it. We'll see how it goes down, man. It should be very interesting on the plains. This is a very It's a very big decision for Brian Harsin. I think there was a reporter on the local news here, the paper, basically, AL.com, and he was just saying this quarterback decision could shape, you know, the rest of Brian Harsin's career at Auburn. And I totally agree with that. So we'll see how that goes down. I want to say congratulations to all of the WNBA. Before, you know, we're going to get into some more basketball, but I want to go get into these WNBA draftees on Monday night. A lot of women getting to live out their dreams of playing professional basketball. And a lot of those women are from the SEC. And we also have one, finally, from the HBCU ranks. She's from Jackson State University. You know, Amisha Williams Holiday. She is the first HBCU player to get drafted in 20 years. And she is the first women's basketball player from Jackson State to be drafted into the WNBA as well. And she is from Gulfport, Mississippi. She was a SWAC player of the year on that really good basketball team, the Jackson State Tigers. They went undefeated, 18-0 in the regular season. Then they won the SWAC tournament championship. And we talked about them last week in that thrilling game that they played at LSU in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So she was their top player. So she's a forward. And, yeah, man, she's very well deserved. And she was selected 25th overall by the Indiana Fever. So, I mean, congrats big time to her. And, you know, it's about time, man. We're glad to see that. Obviously, we know that the HBCUs it's much harder. Even though we saw no HBCU players taken in the NFL draft last year, it's even harder in some ways for them to get drafted into the WNBA and the NBA, because there's just so few spots. There are three rounds in the WNBA draft and there are two rounds in the NBA draft. So, you know, kind of crazy, but anyway, I'm just really happy that finally worked out. She's definitely deserving. She's a good basketball player, and I have no doubt that she's going to have a productive career with the Indiana Fever. Like I said, a lot of SEC players taken in that draft. And that starts off with, of course, the top pick overall from the Atlanta Dream, Renee Howard from the University of Kentucky. She's a guard, and man, what a career and what a season she had. So she definitely well deserved. And of course, it went to Shakira Austin, forward center from Ole Miss. She was picked in the third spot from the Washington Mystics. We had, there were several others as well. We had a couple from Tennessee, which that's nothing new, of course. And we had one of my favorite players to watch, Kayla Pointer from LSU. She's a guard. And she was picked by my favorite team, the Las Vegas Aces, actually. That team already has Asia Wilson on it from South Carolina Gamecocks. And so there's, you know, a little bit of SEC flavor again going to Las Vegas. And you look up, of course, Destiny Henderson, the guard, the point guard. Obviously, we knew about Leah Boston. She was the big gun for the South Carolina Gamecocks, the national champs. Now, but Destiny Henderson, she was the one that kind of stirred the pot at that point guard position. She is headed as well to the Indiana Fever, which should be interesting. So, you know, congratulations to all of those ladies on job well done. And I definitely hope the best for them going forward. We'll talk some more WNBA as we get closer to the season starting and everything. Again, my favorite team is the Las Vegas Aces, and I was happy with the draft. And hopefully we can do just a little bit better. We almost got into the finals last year. And hopefully we'll take that next step to get into the finals this coming season and see if we can knock off Miss Candace Parker and the Chicago Sky. That's going to be the quest to do that. Anyway, Getting to some more. I have a couple things I, you know, kind of wanted to talk about, man, before I go to my first break and before we get into my NBA playoff preview. I want to sit here and talk about the continued mess that's going on in LA with the Lakers. And again, and I like so this is going to be the last time that we really talk in depth about them, at least while the playoffs are going on, unless something really crazy comes up or whatever while the playoffs are going on. Until we get to the draft and until we get to the free agency and everything. But obviously they fired Frank Vogel earlier this week, which was no surprise to anyone. And but still the things that are being said by some of the Lakers, including LeBron James, is just mind-boggling. And LeBron goes out and basically says the other day that, well, I guess it was Monday or maybe it was last weekend or whatever, that in his exit interview is that, oh, you know what? It wasn't a failure. This season wasn't a failure. LeBron, you lost 50 games. You lost 50 games. You were picked by many to either win the NBA title or get to the NBA finals. Now, you know, look, I wasn't one of those people that said that. I mean, I could not imagine that team making that type of run the way they were built. But there were a lot of people that, you know, and of course Vegas had you guys as one of the favorites to make it to the NBA finals along with the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, and I talked about it on here. I thought it was a complete disrespect in a way of the Phoenix Suns. I mean, and the Suns were a team that, you know, we knew exactly what their weakness was, and they addressed it. And they addressed it, and they kept their team pretty much the same other than that. And you're going to favor this Lakers team over them? You know, so I did not get that. And I definitely did not get LeBron coming out and saying that the season was not a failure. I'm sure he didn't mean it exactly that way. But, man, that's the way it came out. That's the way it came out. I'm just not really understanding what LeBron thinks this season was. I'm not really sure. And then, of course, you have, you know, whole thing with Russell Westbrook, and I don't know, man. It's crazy. But, you know, a lot of people are weighing in. They're putting out their level of blame for the Lakers' horrible season. And, you know, a lot of people are putting Frank Vogel, like, toward the top of the list and all of that. And I'm just like, man, I have no idea why. I just don't. I mean, for me, if we're gonna rank this thing for real, for the blame of the Lakers not making the playoffs, or the blame for the Lakers losing 50 games this season, for me, it's going front office number one. Actually, I'm gonna kind of go a 1A, 1B, and a 1C. I'm gonna have the front office 1A. I'm gonna have LeBron James 1B, and I'm gonna have Anthony Davis 1C. That's the way I see it. And then it drops off because the level of blame drops off significantly from those three to Russell Westbrook and Frank Vogel. And a lot of people are blaming Frank Vogel, but he had no say-so in, as far as I could tell, or very little say-so anyway, on how this roster was built. So how can you sit there? And that is the exact reason why this team is in the position that they are, because the roster was not built well. They still should have been a playoff team. But once things really got to going south with this basketball team, they kind of just quit. That's why you saw the 20 and 30 point blowouts. They just weren't that good, and they knew it, and they just kind of threw in the towel. So, you know, I don't really get everything that's going on out there in LA, man. If I'm a Lakers fan, I would be pissed. I'm just going to be real. I would just be about ready to pull my hair out. It's ridiculous what's going on with that organization. So anyway, that is kind of throw my Laker talk in for a few minutes. And like I say, that'll probably be, unless something really crazy comes up, be the last time I talk about them before we get into the draft and we get to, you know, free agency and everything. Of course, it's not like they have a draft pick. They are, their next first round draft pick is in 2027. It's just insane, man. Anyway, so yeah, very interesting stuff there. And very interesting stuff around some of the other NBA as well. And one topic that came up, as I get ready to get into my playoff previews and everything, the New Orleans Pelicans, Herb Jones. Now, Herb Jones, man, there are a lot of people that are obviously loving this kid, loving this dude. Everyone is seeing at the NBA level, well, I'm not going to say everyone, because there are some people that are not feeling Herb Jones. We're going to get into that in just a second. But there are a lot of people that are enjoying watching Herb Jones play, and they're getting to see exactly what us Alabama fans got to see the last few seasons in Tuscaloosa. This dude is just special, man. He is just flat out special. And I think the one thing, I mean, talking about the Alabama basketball team, it kind of gets lost with, you know, and I've discussed it on this show, Herb Jones, you know, you see his defense, and everybody loves his defense, his effort, and the way he does it. It's not just his effort, it's his IQ. I mean, this dude is a big-time thinker. He kind of outthinks the offensive player before the offensive player. He knows what the offensive player is going to do before he does it. He anticipates things very well. That's one of the good things when you sit there and you see really good defenders. That's one of the things that they do well, is they anticipate what's coming from that offensive player that they're defending or whatever. Herb Jones does it spectacularly, right? But the other thing that Alabama fans maybe are not really realizing is that he was kind of really the point guard of this basketball team last season, a point forward, I guess you would say. And because Alabama, man, you know, they struggled at point guard this past season, and really, truthfully, they had some struggles in the 2021 season, in the season that they got to the Sweet 16. And Herb Jones was really the guy that kind of bailed them out, being that point forward, kind of leading the offense and getting the teams into their sets and all of that. So when this dude really gets his feet on the ground for real, I mean, I think the NBA is going to be really, really surprised by just how good a basketball player this guy is. And if he ever gets that shot down consistently, then it's going to really be over at that point. But the thing that I want to really talk about with Herb Jones is a lot of people are talking about him being on maybe the all-defensive team. The all-defensive team, some of people, of course, the all-rookie team. And that's where I really want to focus through the next couple of minutes. There are a lot of people that wanted to put Herb Jones first team all rookie or whatever. Well, me being a Houston Rockets fan, Houston Rockets fanatic, okay, I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter and social media really kind of ticked off that Herb Jones is being mentioned by a lot more of these guys that have votes than is Jalen Green, the hot rookie with the Houston Rockets. Now, I'm a huge Jalen Green fan. Don't get me wrong. I love the dude, man. I mean, this dude, I think he has potential through the roof. And I cannot wait to see, once he gets in the weight room, once he gets, you know, a little bit more of a head for the game, I cannot wait to see what this dude becomes as a professional. I mean, I think he's going to be an all-star. I think he's going to be a superstar for years to come, and I hope that those years to come are in Houston. But Rockets fans are just livid that anyone would sit there and think that Herb Jones, someone would vote in Herb Jones above Jalen Green, and Herb Jones averages 9 points, 9.5 points a game, and Jalen Green averages 17 this year, and he ended up the season scoring, I think it was five consecutive 30-point games, and then he ended off the season against the Hawks last Sunday with a 40-point game, okay? So a lot of people are upset about that. That's what I want to talk about just for a quick minute, man. I'm like, look, no one is saying that Herb Jones is necessarily going to be the bigger superstar or whatever. Okay? I mean, I think that, again, a lot of people are pointing to the impact that he has had on a team that is, you know, they didn't have a winning record, but they are in the playoff. They did get in the play-in. They won the two games in the play-in tournament, and they are now going to the playoffs. So technically, you have to call that a winning team, especially if you look at their record from since early from October, November, the first of the year. I mean, this team started out 1-12, 3-16, and they made the play-in tournament, and now they're in the playoffs. And Herb Jones, while he's obviously he is not their number one go-to guy. He's not the number one, two, or three. But the what he gives them on the floor, on both ends of the floor, is, you know, is absolutely helping them out and moving them forward into the playoffs. There's no question that he had a lot to do with this team moving on. Well, sometimes, man, we got to get away from just looking at these stats all the time. We just do and kind of look at what's going on with our eyes. I mean, Jalen Green, man, look, again, like I said, dude is fabulous. But you look at what Herb Jones has done and what the New Orleans Pelicans are doing. And, again, look, I mean, this dude started out on the bench. He was a second-round pick. He was a 35th pick overall. And he worked his way into the starting lineup. And since he's been in the lineup, the Pelicans have been a better team. That's just point blank simple. So I just think, man, just need to get out of just looking at these stats to determine how good a ball player he is. Because if you want to just sit there and look at stats, then Draymond Green would never be in an All-Star game. He would never be in the Olympics. He would never be an Olympian. And he would never have a shot at all of being in the Hall of Fame one day. But all three of those things are going to come true. Two of them already have. He's been an All-Star. He's been an Olympian. He has a gold medal. And he is going to be a Hall of Famer because of what he does on the floor. It's not the scoring that gets him there. It's the other things that he does defensively, passing the ball, things of that nature. And you'll see more of that from Herb Jones as he kind of acclimates himself to the offensive end of the floor a little bit more as well. That New Orleans Pelicans team is scary, man. So, again, look, it wouldn't matter with me how you put it. It was Jalen Green. It was Herb Jones. Let's just stop making it look like it's so preposterous that Herb Jones could be on the rookie team and Jalen Green may not. It's just not that big a deal, and it's not that huge a gap between those players. You know, Bill Simmons, man, you want to sit there and say, F Jalen Green, and then he comes back with this lame response to that saying, oh, well, we were just joking all the time, we were laughing throughout it or whatever. He's one of those guys that says he would rather vote in Herb Jones to the rookie team than Jalen Green, which is fine, but it took you saying F Jalen Green? What was that about? I mean, I didn't know this. I mean, I knew this dude had a blog. This is a guy that used to be on ESPN or whatever. I never really liked him. I'm just not a big ESPN guy for their, you know, their shows that are, you know, besides the actual sporting events that they show, except for NBA Today with Malika Andrews. Those guys, I like them. Other than that, I just, you know, and Bill Simmons, I'm not really sure how this dude continues to have a platform. I'm just going to be real about it. So, anyway, those were just my thoughts on some of those things. Like, we really kind of went a little bit over the time I wanted to, but again, those were a few news and notes of things that I saw here this past week. Anyway, we're going to get into my first break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some NBA playoffs when Ball About the South continues. All right, y'all, we're back. Ball About the South continues, and this is my NBA playoffs preview 2022. And we're going to get into it, man. We're going to start off out west. Well, you want to call it out west. Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. This is the 7-2 matchup in the Western Conference. The Timberwolves are into the playoffs with their victory on Wednesday. What was that? Tuesday night, I think it was, over the Los Angeles Clippers. By the way, the Clippers losing PG-13, man, you know, that was crazy. I tell you, now, you know, this the luck sometimes seems like that franchise is amazing. But they really, to be honest with you, in my opinion, the Clippers should have taken care of the Timberwolves on Tuesday night. Clippers blew a 10-point lead in that basketball game in the fourth quarter. So, you know, that was a big time playoff atmosphere there at Target Center in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I can see it definitely could have seen that outcome coming, because this Minnesota team is really good. There's no question about it. But Clippers kind of blew that game. I don't think there's any question about it. We're talking about a Minnesota team that doesn't have a lot of experience. Of course, now we're talking a Memphis team that you can kind of say the same thing about. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this series goes down. This series, I'm telling you, is one of maybe the most exciting series that we have on the board. I could make a case for it. And you sit there and you look at the young talent on both of these teams. You sit there and you look at Anthony Edwards, affectionately called Ant, for the T-Wolves. You look at of course, Karl Anthony Towns, which, you know, I can't really call Karl Anthony Towns too really young anymore. Look at D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell, and some of those other dudes on that basketball team. And then you look, of course, at the Memphis Grizzlies with guys like Ja Morant and Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson Jr. and all those dudes, man. I tell you, this series could be really, really good as far as, and really exciting and really kind of a high-octane series as well. Both teams, I think, kind of like to get up and down a little bit. And it's going to be crazy. And then there's the element of Mr. Patrick Beverley. And that's one thing the Memphis Grizzlies, I think that is one of the keys in this series. They're going to have to get past a guy like him. And this is a dude that just likes to be a menace. And we saw it the other night, you know, against the Clippers. I mean, he was really hounding on Morris of the Clippers the other night. And this dude is just a menace, and the Grizzlies have to be careful of that. While I think I would probably still favor the Grizzlies in this matchup, I think, man, you got to sit there and really be a little bit, if you're a Memphis fan, you got to be a little bit, uneasy about playing against a guy like Patrick Beverley. I mean, we've seen this dude when he played with the Rockets, when he played the Clippers or whatever, especially when he played with the Rockets, he, you know, had that play where Russell Westbrook got injured. That's been, you know, that was like 2013 or 14, something like that. And, you know, Russell Westbrook, I can't remember if I think he missed the rest of that Houston series, but it didn't matter. Oklahoma City beat the Rockets in that series. But I want to say he came back the next series, but obviously he probably wasn't the same. And so you think about scenarios like that, and again, I'm not, you know, hoping that nothing like that happens, but that element is out there. And then just the element of Patrick Beverley getting in the head of a guy like Ja Morant, you have to be a little bit cautious about that in thinking about this series if you're a Grizzlies fan. So, because other than that, man, I mean, I like the Grizzlies in this matchup. I just do. Because, you know, even when you sit there and you look at Anthony Edwards and you look at that fantastic game he had against the Clippers on Tuesday night, the Grizzlies have a couple guys they can throw at him defensively. I'm not saying you're going to shut him down or whatever, but I think that you have a couple guys that, you know, more than a couple, that can bother him a little bit and, you know, do his thing. Now, this is a series that each team won two games this past season in the series. So, you know, kind of even there. So, yeah, I mean, of course, but again, the Grizzlies have home court advantage. And then, of course, there's a lot of talk right now about Karl Anthony Towns' cat. Man, I don't know what that was Tuesday night. I have no clue what that was Tuesday night that Karl Anthony Towns was doing. It's not what needs to be done for the Minnesota Timberwolves to be successful. This dude had 6 fouls. He was a minus 14 in plus minus. He had 11 points. But some kind of way, of course, it was Anthony Edwards. It was D'Angelo Russell. It was the, like I said, it was the menacing of Patrick Beverley that brought them that victory against the Clippers. Karl Anthony Towns had little to nothing to do with that victory. And he averages almost 25 points a game, almost 10 rebounds. He has got to be that type player if the Timberwolves are going to have a chance in this series. And I'm just not seeing it, man. I think that the T-Wolves can make this a series and take it 6 games. But I really believe that the Grizzlies are going to be too much for them. Again, like I said, for me, the key is, you know, is the youth of this Memphis team. Can they kind of get over that? And can they kind of fall deaf ear to everything that Patrick Beverley is saying and doing on the floor? You cannot let this dude get in your head, because that is exactly what he is going to try to do from the second that ball is tipped off. And I think, to me, that is one of the biggest keys of this series. If that happens, this series could go 7 games. If that happens, if Patrick Beverley is able to get in Ja Morant's head and some of the other Grizzlies' head, and then Karl Anthony Towns actually looks like Karl Anthony Towns is supposed to look, then we could be talking about a 7-game series here. Other than that, I think the Memphis Grizzlies get it done in 6 games. So that is my prediction on that one. We'll put that down. The Memphis Grizzlies in 6. We'll move on. So while I'm in the West, might as well stay in the West. And we'll go to this New Orleans Pelicans and Phoenix Suns series, which obviously, man, you know, the Pelicans kind of talk of the town right now, and rightfully so, but now man, a little bit of reality is probably going to set in. Okay, and this series gets started off on Sunday night on TNT. This is an 8-versus-1 matchup, and it looks like basically an 8-versus-1 matchup probably should look. Okay, and, you know, You look at the Phoenix Suns again. For me, they were my favorite to win the entire thing from day one. They still are. Well, at least to get at least the Western Conference anyway. You know, I didn't necessarily pick a team to actually win the finals. I think I had Phoenix against Miami was my pick, and I'm going to, you know, that was kind of what I said at the beginning of the season. I'm going to kind of, as we go along here with my preview, we'll see if that remains. But, you know, the Suns, like I mentioned just a little while ago, they did the things that they needed to do to get this roster where it needs to be. And that was working on their interior. And they picked up JaVale McGee. And then they also got Bismack Biyombo from the, I guess kind of with the Toronto Raptors last season. I know he has been with the Raptors. I'm not sure if he had a stop in between. I can't remember that right off the top of my head right now. But again, those are two really, I thought, you know, acquisitions that, again, nothing, not a big splash or whatever, but just what they needed to have to be able to have the rim protection that they did not have last season against the Milwaukee Bucks. Have a little bit more size that they can bang a little bit more with those big guys and on the interior. And that's exactly what they did. So I think you look at it from that standpoint, man, you know, and these guys, of course, going on with DeAndre Ayton. You know, you look at, of course, then you go out in the backcourt with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and then they have the wings and Bridges and Johnson. They've got some depth when you look at Payne at the point and everything. Landry Shamet, which I thought was a big pickup from the Sixers, you know. Again, Torrey Craig. I mean, I can just go on and on about this Phoenix Suns basketball team. And unfortunately for the Pelicans, they're going to kind of, I'm sure they already know, but they're going to find that out here in this series. Now, you know, you sit there and you look at what the Pelicans have done, man, to get where they are. Again, like I said, 1-12 start to get to this point is just awesome. And then you sit there and you look at it, C.J. McCollum, the guy they brought over a couple months ago, maybe not even 2 months ago. And that's another thing I want to mention about Herb Jones, because everyone wants to sit there and say, oh, well, you know what, Herb Jones has had C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram by his side all season. No, he's not. He had C.J. McCollum for about a month and a half. He had Brandon Ingram and Jonas Valanciunas. He had Devontae Graham. Okay, but he didn't have C.J. McCollum until what, end of what, March? I mean, sorry, you know, February. I'm sorry. So again, you know, again, that's another reason for, in my opinion, it's not so outlandish that Herb Jones should be on the All Rookie Team. But anyway, we move on from that. Again, C.J. McCollum, this dude has been doing it. I've been saying for a couple of years that, you know, the Portland Trail Blazers kind of really sat a little bit too long on Dame and CJ in that backcourt. In my opinion, I thought they should have split it up. I thought that would have been the best thing for Portland, and I think it definitely would have been the best thing for CJ McCollum, whether you kept him in Portland or moved him on. And I think moving him on to New Orleans, man, puts him in a different role, obviously. This dude is just doing it. He's averaging 25 points a game, almost 26 points a game to go with Brandon Ingram, who's averaging another 23. This is a team, again, while I absolutely have to favor the Phoenix Suns in this series, this is a team that's scary. I mean, you sit there and you think about a guy like Herb Jones that just defends his you-know-what off. You can see a little bit of concern from the Phoenix Suns just making this maybe a longer series than they might want it to be. And I think that's really the concern with Phoenix right now, more than just losing it. You know, if you want to go ahead and get this series over with, you want to be able to go get this thing over with in 4 games, maybe 5. But with this lineup, with guys like CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, maybe they win a couple games. So, you know, it's my belief that I think I've got this thing going five. I think the Suns close it out in five games, but it could go six. I could see maybe the Pelicans getting two games in New Orleans or whatever. And nothing's out of nothing. We've seen a lot of crazy things happen, especially in the first round of the playoffs. A team like the Pelicans will go out and get a road victory as well or something like that. But ultimately, for me, I've got to see this series going five games in favor of the Phoenix Suns. I just think that pretty much how that's going to go. I want to really touch really quick before I go into the other two series here in the Western Conference, man. This is Zion Williamson thing. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just getting older. I don't know. That was a bad look the other night. I'm sorry. That was a bad look Wednesday night watching him on the floor with this kind of Pelicans gear on or whatever, doing 360 dunks before that huge game. And instead of him, of course, playing after that, he goes on and puts on a suit or whatever it was he had on that night and sits back on the bench to watch the game. That's a bad look, man. I'm sorry. I don't know what the deal is right now in New Orleans. Kind of getting the vibe that, okay, well, you know what, they're just kind of trying to save him. They're not wanting to play him right now. They want to wait till next season, which that's fine. I mean, that's what the process is. You know, I don't necessarily agree with that if he's ready to play, but, you know, I mean, I'm all for that if that's what they feel they need to do, but still look kind of ready to play to me. Now, I'm not going to say he was looking in game shape or anything like that, but I just didn't think it was a good look, man. Nobody wants to see these videos. This is the same thing with Ben Simmons. No one wants to see these big videos, or let me put it like this. No one wanted to see those videos of Ben Simmons playing a pickup game in July. Nobody wants to see that, especially the Philadelphia 76ers fans back then, and the Brooklyn Nets fans now. They don't see that. And, you know, it's just ridiculous, man. And now the same thing to me with Zion Williamson. I'm not saying it's all this kid's fault, but I don't know, man. It's not a good look. I'm sorry. And like I said, maybe I'm just getting older. I don't know. The Pelicans need to really figure out what they're going to do with Zion Williamson. Because, again, I'm saying, you know, I've been thinking this for quite a while. But, I mean, I'm not one to say that David Griffin, whoever there in New Orleans, should push Zion out the door. I'm not saying that. But I will say this. If the phone rang from another team around the NBA inquiring about the services of Zion Williamson, I'm not hanging up the phone. That's just point blank. Anyway, man, let's get into these other two matchups. We'll go back to another break here in the Western Conference. One of the bigger things that happened this week as well was Luka Doncic. How bad is that? You sit there and you play, you know, a lot of people questioning why he was playing in the first place in the last game of the season. He sits there and he gets a calf strain. And the calf strain can be, you know, it can be something that turns into something bigger. We saw something similar to this happen to Kevin Durant a couple seasons ago. We all know about that calf strain, and then it turned into the Achilles. I'm not saying that's going to be the case here. I have no clue what the prognosis would be or whatever. And right now, I guess he's kind of a day-to-day kind of thing. He's not going to play game one from what I've been understanding. So, I'm not really sure how it's going to be going forward. I'm telling you, man, I really don't know what to say about this one. I really don't. But this is a Dallas team that just thrives on everything this guy does. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And now you sit there, you don't have the services of Tim Hardaway Jr., of course. He's going to be out a good bit longer and everything. So who does Dallas turn to for scoring? I mean, you like what you get from Spencer Dinwiddie since he's been over and everything. I think that has been a good move for them. I'm just not really sure, man. I'm not really sure how they come out of this. It's going to be very interesting to see. Very interesting to see. And, again, I just don't see the scoring, though. You have Jalen Brunson, this guy that averages 16 points. He would be the leading scorer right now above Dinwiddie. Other than that, man, pretty thin. So you have to sit there and think maybe Utah has an advantage. But then again, I'm not huge on Utah. This Utah team that is having some issues of their own with, you know, chemistry issues and things of that nature. So I'm not really sure. This is one series that's kind of up in the air for me. I'm going to, you know, let's hope that Luka Doncic comes back. I'm really going to kind of punt on this one. This is the 4-5 series in the Western Conference. If Luka Doncic was playing, I would pick the Mavericks in 5 games. Point blank. But we're not sure how much we're going to see him, if we see him at all. So this could be a very interesting series. Donovan Mitchell, again, would be more the best player on the floor at that time. We'll see how it plays out. I'm going to stick with my Dallas pick just simply because they have the home court advantage. But it would not surprise me if we're seeing Luka Doncic out for a number of games that the Utah Jazz get it done. And then you sit there and you look at the other series. In the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets, they are the 6th seed going against the 3 seed Golden State Nuggets. I'm the Golden State Nuggets. Golden State, I guess the Denver Nuggets playing the Golden State Nuggets, or the Denver Warriors playing the Golden State Nuggets, right? The Denver Nuggets, the 6th seed, going up against the 3 seed Golden State Warriors. And big news there, Steph Curry is going to be active in that basketball game, the first game. Again, this is another team decimated by injuries, huge injuries. The Nuggets, we talk about Porter Jr., you talk about Murray. You just wish those guys were available for this dude, the Joker, man. Jokic is just having, for me, an MVP season. He would be my MVP right now. By the way, I'm going to do an award show. I'm going to do it after kind of the second round, though, because I think the first and second round should be counted in the voting, to a degree anyway. Because most of the time, if you talk about MVP and, you know, all of those type guys, they're going to be in the playoffs anyway. So why not add the first couple of rounds? I'm not saying necessarily the finals or anything, but add the first couple of rounds. That's just my thought on that, you know. But anyway, obviously I've got to go with Golden State in this series. I think they're going to be a little bit too much for the Denver Nuggets, and they'll move on. So I've got in the Western Conference, man, I've got the Memphis Grizzlies winning that series. I have them. That is the 2-7 matchup. I have the Dallas Mavericks winning the 3, they're the 4-5, so I have Golden State winning the 3-6 matchup, so I would have them facing Memphis in the second round, and then I would have Utah-Dallas series give me Dallas, even though we have to see what's going on with Luka. We'll see how that goes, but I'll go with Dallas still, and of course I'll go with Phoenix in the other matchup, the 1-8 matchup, so that would be Phoenix and Dallas and Memphis and Golden State. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Eastern Conference when Ball About the South continues. All right, y'all, let's get back into Ball About the South, this 25th episode, which we are previewing the NBA playoffs, and we last segment, we went through the Western Conference, the first round in anyway, and let's get into the second round. I'm sorry, the first round of the Eastern Conference. My apologies on that. The first game we're going to kind of look at, man, obviously the two teams from this neck of, from our neck of the woods here that goes down. Starting tomorrow, the Atlanta Hawks, they are the eighth seed, and they are playing the number one seeded Miami Heat. Now, that is the first game out the gates tomorrow at noon, noon Central Time, that is. And really, man, really crazy series, in my opinion, when you look at it. The Hawks is as dangerous an eighth seed as I think we've ever seen. I don't think there's any question about that. This is they have a team that has experience in the playoffs. We do, of course, we know the run that they made last season. Gonna be crazy. The one thing about, unfortunately, when you talk about Atlanta right now in this series, is what the health of Clint Capela. He had the injury last night in the game versus Cleveland. That huge victory that, you know, propelled the Hawks into the playoffs. Not really sure. From right now, they're not thinking it's really too bad from what I'm seeing. But I'm not really sure about that. Right now, I'm seeing him listed as a game-time decision. So I'm not sure how up-to-date that information is. Not sure if he's going to have to have an MRI. It was on his right leg. The issue that he has. So, we're going to have to see. Obviously, that is huge because the Hawks are already without John Collins. That is basically your two best interior players. So, obviously going up against, the Heat, that's going to be a huge, huge issue if things with Capela are not fine where he can play a good bit of the series or whatever. So, I'm not really sure how to, the optimism I'm seeing from Woj on Twitter is that he has not suffered a significant right knee damage. And then again, he's going to have an MRI to confirm that. So, maybe he's going to be kind of a day-to-day kind of thing. So, we'll see. Of course, the Hawks. Obviously, when you sit there and think about the Hawks, it's basically everything starts with Trae Young, number 11. This dude had an amazing game last night in the second half. He had 32 points in the second half after scoring six in the first half. And that propelled the Hawks in that big comeback against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the upstart Cleveland Cavaliers. That is one franchise that is on the upswing as well. They had nothing to hang their heads about walking off that floor. And if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, you have a lot to look forward to. And the future is definitely bright, in my opinion. So, no question about any of that. And so, again, you sit there and you look at this series, man. The Heat, for me, have a bit of an advantage, obviously, with the home court. I don't know if it's that big. The Hawks, like I said, played really well last season on the road. They got those big road victories at Philadelphia, winning Game 7 in Philadelphia. I want to say they may have won one of the two games in Milwaukee last season there in the Eastern Conference Finals. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that they did. So, of course, that was before they went down to six games. But, I don't know if the home court advantage is as important in this series as it would be in other circumstances. Bam Adebayo, he is apparently going to be available. Seems like he has rejoined the team after going through COVID protocols himself. So that is huge news. Obviously, really good news for the Miami Heat. they again, and that gives them a clear advantage if Clint Capela is unable to go. Now, there's just no question about any of that. So we'll see how that rolls, man. But again, I think other than that, you look at the guard matchup, you know, these guys trying to hold down Trae Young, man, that is going to be the key to this series. You know, Trae Young basically gets anywhere he wants to on the floor. You know, they had to basically trap him late in their game. I think they waited too late. I'm talking about Cleveland last night and trying to trap him and getting the ball out of his hands. You have to do that. Because if you allow Trae Young to get into the middle of the floor, there's just not much you can do against him, to be honest with you. You just basically hope he misses. Because this dude is averaging almost 10 assists. So even if you defend him well, he's finding open guys like Bogdanovich and DeAndre Hunter and all of those guys. And so you've got to be able to keep him out of the middle of the floor if at all possible. And this is just hard to do. He has every shot you can think of. He, you know, if he gets by that defender that kind of attacks him at the top of the key or at the three-point line or whatever, he'll go in there and shoot the little floater. He can get to the rim and finish. And then, of course, if you back off him at all, he'll shoot the ball. He has range out to the logo, out to half court, really. So it's just, you know, guarding this dude is going to be extremely difficult for this Heat backcourt. And I think that is the thing that, if I'm a Heat fan, scares me the most. You look at the Heat offensively, Jimmy Butler, of course, leads them with 21 points a game. Then Tyler Hero and all those guys out of bio. Of course, they now have the services of Kyle Lowry, which should help them in situations like this. I like this dude, Max Strus, coming off the bench. This dude comes out and he's kind of a microwave with shooting the three ball. Of course, Duncan Robinson is there shooting the three ball as well. I like that they went out and got P.J. Tucker. I really don't understand why the Bucks didn't go out and try to sign P.J. Tucker back. Yeah, man, this series, if Clint Capela, again, I think that is the key right now. Clint Capela has to be in the lineup for the Hawks. But if he is, I think we're talking about a long 6-7 game series. I don't think there's any question about that, even though this is the 1-8 matchup. This is not your normal 1-8 matchup that we're talking about here. So, but again, look, like I said before, man, I picked the Heat to get to the NBA Finals. And so I'm going to stick with that. I'm just, you know, it's kind of like the Rams this past football season. Like, you know, the Rams had some difficulties, and we've seen some difficulties with the Heat. We saw the skirmish on the sidelines a few weeks ago between Udonis Haslem and Jimmy Butler, and then Coach Spo got involved and all that. We saw all of that, and it was no coincidence that they were in the middle of a 5-6 game losing streak at that time. So we've seen this team have their issues. And you sit there and really look at them, they don't really have one guy that you just say, okay, you know what, go out, get me a hoop. Get me a hoop. They don't necessarily have that guy. Jimmy Butler is the closest thing they have to being there. Now, they have a lot of good players that can go out and get hoops, but they don't have, you know, they don't have Kevin Durant. They don't have Kyrie. They don't have Giannis. They don't, you know, so that scares me a little bit when talking about this team. But I think defensively, you know, and I think they have a team that really has all the other intangibles down pretty good if everything's going well. I still favor them slightly in this series, even though I think we're talking about a long series. I think this thing goes 6 or 7 games. It probably gets back to Miami for a game 7, but I'm going with the Heat in a really tight series with the Hawks. Crazy. But that's one thing I also want to talk about really quick, man. I kind of teased that early in the show. This play-in tournament thing. A lot of people are not liking it. A lot of people are not liking that, you know, you're giving a second chance to some teams some people saying, oh, you know, the 9 and 10 seeds don't need to be playing in this. You know, and I get what they're saying. Especially when you sit there and you look at a case like the Clippers. The Clippers should have been in the playoffs automatically. They shouldn't have needed a play-in to get into the playoffs. I mean, they were already there. They finished in, what, 8th place. So technically, that should have been good enough for them to get into the playoffs. But, of course, they had to play the play-in game, and then they, again, let that 10-point lead slip away in the fourth quarter, and now they are going fishing. Okay? At least, you know. And so, I get what they're saying as far as that goes. I think the play-in adds a level of excitement, and then I think when you sit there, obviously they're doing it because, so some of these teams are, you know, kind of toward the bottom of the the lottery, that they won't just go ahead and tank the rest of the season or whatever. That's obviously one of the reasons that they're doing it. But in this case, when you sit there and look at the Atlanta Hawks, man, all of the injuries that they have, and again, I understand that a lot of teams go through injuries. There's no question about that. And then you sit there, we're living in the COVID era. A lot of players are going to be out for COVID and things of that nature. I get all of that. But this is not your typical 9-10 team, okay? They're just not. This team went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and this is very much the same team that did that. So to say, oh, well, they didn't belong in the playoffs to me, or they didn't belong in the play-in, or they shouldn't have had a second shot, this team is trash, and all of those kind of things that I've been seeing on social media, I just don't agree with. Again, we can sit here and debate whether there should be a play-in all along, but this is, the Atlanta Hawks are absolutely a playoff team regardless. There's just, you know, in my opinion, regardless of what transpired, they are absolutely a playoff team. There's no question about that. So, you know, like I say, a lot of people are having questions about that. A lot of people, again, we could sit here and debate all day long, should the NBA cut some of these teams off there to get in the playoffs? It's the NBA is the easiest of the professional sports to get into the playoffs, which again goes back to the Lakers and LeBron James sitting there saying, oh, well, it wasn't a failure of a season, but yet 20 other teams are playing and you're not. I mean, it's crazy. So anyway, 20 of the 30 to be exact. Okay, so anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on the play-in and the playoff thing that a lot of people are kind of having some issue with. Anyway, I digress. Let's get on with the rest of the Eastern Conference first round as we get ready to wind down this show. But yeah, I do like the Heat in 7 games against the Atlanta Hawks. Let's look at some of the other matchups there in the East. For me, you know, the defending world champion, the Milwaukee Bucks, they should have a pretty easy time. I think there's a 3 seed against Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are decimated with injuries right now on their own. Obviously, you sit there and think about guys like Ball and Caruso and Kobe White. Kobe White could play. Maybe I'm seeing maybe he could be a game time decision. Maybe Caruso comes back at some point in this. I mean, maybe he'll be able to play a little bit in this series, but they've had so many injuries this season. It's really decimated that basketball team. And I just think the Bucks are going to be a little bit too much for the Bulls. I think that this series could be a sweep. I think maybe actually Bulls, I would say the Bulls get 1 game. I'll give them that. I'll say this game, the series goes 5 games. But other than that, I think that the Milwaukee Bucks should move on pretty easily in this series. And you look at a couple of more series, the 4-5 matchup. 4-5 matchup, that is a very interesting one. The last 2 matchups here in the Eastern Conference are going to be very, very interesting, to say the least. The 4-5 matchup, the Toronto Raptors, the fifth seed, going up against the Philadelphia 76ers. I think this is a, this is a dangerous, dangerous series for the 76ers. First of all, you're not going to have Matisse Thybulle in games 3 and 4 in a possible game 6 in Toronto because he is unvaccinated. And of course, you can't forget playing a game or forget working, you know, the kind of thing that we had going on in New York City. He can't even enter into the country being unvaccinated. So that is a huge blow to them. Obviously, Matisse Thybulle is more their defensive stopper or whatever. That's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to, you know, kind of move on from that. You see a lot more Court Moss, I think that's his name. I think that's how you pronounce it. He's a pretty good shooter. Coming off the bench, Shake Milton, guys like that, you'll probably see a lot more of them. Niang, maybe. Who, of course, he's more of a big guy. I think one of the keys for the Sixers in this series would be Tobias Harris, man. What do you get out of him? He's averaging 17.2 points per game on the season, but it just seemed like his role was a lot less after James Harden got to town. And then, of course, there's James Harden. I mean, this is a huge series for him. I mean, to say the least. There's a lot of pressure on him because, obviously, he was brought to the city of brotherly love for this very thing. He is brought to bring a championship to Philadelphia. Point blank simple. Now, I don't know if you can sit there and just, if it's really fair to expect that to happen this season, but definitely by next season. Oh, yeah. So the pressure's on him. The pressure's on Joel Embiid. I don't think there's any question about that. And then you sit there and you're facing a Toronto Raptors team that really is playing with house money. Nobody's expecting much out of the Toronto Raptors. There was not much expected out of them to start the season. And here they are. Nick Nurse, who, you know, a lot of people think is the best coach in the game, has them as the fifth seed. Incredible. Absolutely incredible stuff. I mean, you sit there and you look at their hot rookie, Scottie Barnes. This dude has been fantastic on both ends of the floor. Man, this is a dangerous series for the Philadelphia 76ers. That's all I can say. And I've looked back and forth and back and forth at this series. I'm hearing a lot of people picking the upset, and I would definitely not be surprised at all to see that happen. Especially, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this series big time. I really have. I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to say that the Sixers win this series, but I'm going to say it's going to be a 7-game series. In some kind of way, Joel Embiid wills this team to the second round. I think, again, the Raptors are everybody's sexy pick going into this thing, and I really love how Nick Nurse coaches this basketball team and everything. You have Van Vliet, who's a really good ball player, and Pascal Siakam and all of those guys, but something tells me that Embiid will be ready, and he'll be just enough to get the Sixers out of this series. But again, I think it's going to be a 7-game series there in the Eastern Conference. And then you look at the last matchup in the Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets, and I don't have to say too much about that matchup. That is going to be insane. It starts Sunday. That is the 2-7 matchup. That'll be on ABC on Sunday. Look, the key thing for me, and everybody, you know, talks about Kevin Durant and, you know, Kyrie Irving. Of course, he's not fully able to play every game and all of that, which is huge, of course. But, you know, you sit there and you look at the rest of the team. I love Bruce Brown. I think he's a really good guy, kind of the glue of that Brooklyn team and everything. You look at guys like Seth Curry that can shoot the basketball opposite of Kyrie. Also, you look at, you know, Patty Mills is another guy that can and get hot at times or whatever. So you know they have enough scoring. The defensive end is where, for me, is the disconnect comes with the Brooklyn Nets. And I think they're going to be better than they would have been if they had kept James Harden. I do agree with that. And it, you know, getting Andre Drummond helped them on the boards. They were a terrible rebounding team. Obviously, Andre Drummond helped that immediately. And then I think you sit there and you look at Claxton on the inside. He backs him up. He's kind of a rim protector. But other than that, they're thin as far as, you know, really keeping teams out of the paint and just defense overall. Really, probably Kevin Durant may be their best defender besides Brown. I mean, he may be. And a lot of, you know, you're going to see a lot of lineups where Kevin Durant's playing that small ball five, which is a good lineup, obviously. I just don't know if it's going to be enough. And I say that even without Robert Williams, if that's the case for the Celtics. And now we're seeing that possibly Robert Williams could be back for this series, which would be huge. I'm just not seeing Brooklyn being able to defend well enough. But, you know, again, I just look, you know, at the defense of these teams, and I think Boston obviously is the better defensive team overall. Look, I know about Kyrie. I know about Kevin Durant being able to score the basketball with the best of any of them. And you look at a tandem like that, you're talking about a lot of danger for a team like Boston, you know, if they're not on with guys like Tatum and Jaylen Brown and everything. So, but they have been on. They have been on. Both of those guys have been spectacular here over the last couple of months, really since the start of 2022, to be honest with you. And they have been maybe the best defensive team in the NBA. And I'm speaking of the Boston Celtics. I like the Celtics in this series. Obviously, Brooklyn's good enough to win this series. You know, those two guys are good enough to kind of maybe get this done on their own. I just can't see them winning four games on their own. I can't see it. Not at this point, man. And, again, we have really two really good scorers in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on the other end as well. So give me the Boston Celtics. I'm going to say in six games. I think that's about, sounds about right. I wouldn't surprise me if each team wins a game on the other's home floor or something like that. But I think the Celtics close this thing out in six games. So that kind of does it for the first round. That kind of does it for my picks. You know, you sit there and you look at my picks here in the Eastern Conference. We started out with the Miami Heat beating the Atlanta Hawks, and I think that series could go seven games. I think it could go the distance. I have the them matching up in the 3-6 with the 3-6 winner, the Milwaukee Bucks. The 4-5 winner, Philadelphia. I know Toronto's a sexy pick, but I'm going to go with the Sixers to win that series. And then you look at on the other half of that bracket, the 2 seed, I have the Boston Celtics moving on against the 7 seed Brooklyn Nets. And I also have the 3-seeded Milwaukee Bucks, defending world champions, moving on against the 6-seed Chicago Bulls. So you look at the second round, that gives you a Celtics Bucks matchup. And this was maybe an ingenious move. I looked at that last week, and I was like, I was wondering why Boston was wanting to get the second seed to possibly play against the Brooklyn Nets. Well, I'll tell you why. Because I think they figured they can still beat Brooklyn, and then instead of being the 3 seed, because they probably thought that they could beat Chicago, okay? But if you beat Chicago, if you fall down to 3 seed and give Milwaukee the 2 seed, then you're sitting there looking at being basically on the road against the Bucks in the second round. So this gives Boston the home court advantage against the Milwaukee Bucks in that second round. And that makes it that series all the more spicy. It makes it all the more spicy, especially if they can get Robert Williams back. And you would think if these teams go that far, you would think Robert Williams may be back by the talk that's going on about him right now. Because, you know, we're hearing talk that he'll possibly play in this series. So, man, that makes that matchup tough to predict, in my opinion. I'm going to go, man. Oh, man, I think that is one of the tougher ones to pick, because to me, and that on the other side, that 1-4 series, the 1-4 series, which would be the Heat and the Sixers, give me the Heat. I mean, again, like I said, this is the Rams kind of thing with the Super Bowl. I picked the Rams in the beginning of the season. They get through and make it to the Super Bowl and everything. I picked the Miami Heat, so I'm going to stick with them to beat the Philadelphia 76ers in the second round. I'm just not sure about this 2-3 matchup. I'm going to go Milwaukee, because simply for the fact, because I think they still would have the best player on the floor. But the Bucks scare me a little bit in the way that they have kind of taken nights off against inferior competition. They just really have. And I'm just not really sure how this thing is going to work out, man. I don't know if they feel like they can just flip a switch or what it is, but I don't like what I see from the Milwaukee Bucks. So, again, I'm going to go with the Bucks, but I'm telling you, it would not shock me at all if the Boston Celtics moved on in that second round. So then in the Eastern Conference, that gives you the Miami Heat, the 1 seed against the 3 seed Milwaukee Bucks. And again, like I said, I'm going to stick with the Heat, although that would be a that would be a very good series, possibly another 7-game series if that comes up with the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. But I've got the Heat moving on, man. I'm gonna predict that. I'm going to keep to my word to predict them going to the NBA Finals. And then you look at the Western side, man. 2nd seed, Memphis Grizzlies. I have them going up against the 3 seed Golden State Warriors. Obviously, that is a crazy series to think about, man. You talking about a spicy series again. You talking about Steph Curry going against Ja Morant and all of that. I just think, man, the thing that I really wanted to see with Golden State, I wanted to see Wiseman get back and be able to be some sort of an inside presence for them. Obviously, that's not going to happen now, so they have to rely on some other guys. They have really good young players to mix in with their veterans, like, you know, they have Kuminga and Jones and oh my goodness, I'm really meant Poole. Jordan Poole, he's averaging 18.5 points a game. They have Wiggins and they have those kind of guys, Damian Lee, Gary Payton Jr., Gary Payton II off the bench. They're just not really that strong on the interior. That's going to be very interesting to see how they, you know, work around that. Even against a guy like Nikola Jokic in this opening round series, I think the Nuggets find a way of to win a game or two in that series against Golden State. So, but again, they have the experience over, you know, they have the advantage and experience over a team like Memphis. That's a tough series, but of course, Memphis is going to have home court advantage. That could be huge. I don't know, man. I'm going to take Golden State in 6 in that series. Would not surprise me at all if Memphis moves on. But I like Golden State in a really, really razor-thin slight edge over the Memphis Grizzlies in the second round. So I've got them moving on. And then, of course, I would have the Phoenix Suns moving on as the top seed. Moving on in that series versus what I think will be the Dallas Mavericks, but could be the Utah Jazz with the absence of Luka Doncic. Okay, so then you sit there and you look up, you got Golden State and you have the Phoenix Suns, and I have to go with the Suns in that to make the NBA Finals. And for me, I just think that backcourt DeAndre Ayton and, you know, go with those guys. And then I just like this team, the Phoenix Suns. I really think that Chris Paul is going to get his first ring and they are going to win the NBA championship. That's my look at the NBA playoffs, man. That has been from round one all the way to the NBA finals. Hope you enjoyed it, man. I think it's going to be a really exciting playoffs. I think we have potential for some really good matchups coming up here over the next couple of months. Anyway, man, we're going to move on and close this show out. Again, my name is C. Wood. Now, one thing I will say, I did not forget about the USFL. That is going on right here in my town. I am right here in Birmingham, Alabama. The USFL kicks off this weekend. 4 games. I'm excited about it. Of course, Mother Nature is trying her best to spoil the party big time. It is raining in Birmingham. It's going to rain pretty much. Hopefully, there may be a chance that the game, the Birmingham Stallions, the inaugural game, the Stallions and the Generals may be without rain, possibly. But then they're talking about it raining again Sunday. That's the way it goes, man. The way it goes, but I'm excited nonetheless about the USFL. Again, it's just really kind of hard to tell, really kind of predict anything that's going to go on with these teams until you actually kind of lay eyes on them. So I'm not going to really get into that, but again, we will talk some USFL next week. I'm excited as can be. I live about 5 minutes from the stadium, so I'm going to be taking full advantage of those $10 tickets. I'm looking forward to that. And also, I have not forgotten about Major League Baseball. The Braves off to a little bit of a slow start. They've gotten their rings and everything, so all of that's been good. And playing in front of sellout crowds and all that good stuff. So I've not forgotten about them. We're going to get into them. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Rays, they've gotten off to a little bit better start than the Braves. And we'll start looking at baseball as a whole here from time to time as we move forward with this podcast. Anyway, man, I want to thank you for joining me once again. It's been a lot of fun bringing you the 25th episode of Ball About the South with C. Wood. Again, my name is Kerry Wood at C. Wood on Sports on Twitter and IG. It's where you can follow me and everything. Please like, subscribe, all those good things to this podcast. Tell some to your friends, your family about it if you enjoy it. And let me know what you think about this podcast. Anyway, until next time, man, I want to say happy Easter to everybody. Be safe out there. Enjoy all the sports this weekend. We got a plethora of things to watch on TV. I'm out until next week.